Okay, we're working on a series, just the testing of our faith, considering some of the reasons that our faith gets tested and the means by which it's tested. Last week we talked a little bit about the endurance that the various trials that come upon us for the testing of our faith is supposed to produce, the perseverance. We talked a little bit about what is endurance and perseverance. That both active sense and passive sense, both with respect to good and evil. It can be actively pursuing good or just hanging on to it. It could be actively resisting, bad stuff. Or perhaps just, being unmoved by it. A passive resistance against the bad things. We talked a little bit about why do we need endurance. And noted some things in the scripture. Just generated a list of things obtained only by our endurance and perseverance. You get to the end by enduring. Some fruit that's born only through perseverance. That you gain your life by perseverance. Also something about who we are as people, our own soul. Lots of things of future reward. Or perhaps just to get through hard. To endure. That's how you make it through hard. And we talked a little bit about how the tests produce endurance. How they teach us not to be pushed away by something that's hard, or to be lured away by something that's attractive or distractive. How not to be tricked away by something that's deceptive or subtle in its attack. And how not to drift away because of weariness, or because of the length of the journey. Somehow the test produced endurance. We looked at that a little bit. Today I want to just talk a little bit about one specific area where I think we get the testing of our faith. It is an area that I think all of us will encounter various trials. And we'll all need to have some endurance, some perseverance, to pass the test and get through the various trials in this area. It is certainly, I think, an area that if you eliminated it from your life, you would bypass a lot of trials, because in this area of life, various trials come. And so if you eliminate this area, you would indeed eliminate, probably a whole set of various trials. In fact, I think there might only be actually one other area, in my opinion, where there are more trials or costlier trials than in this area. You may not agree with me after you find out about the area and we talk about it, but in my own opinion, there's perhaps only one other area that generates more trials or costlier ones than this particular area. And the area that I think will generate various trials and bring a lot of tests to our faith is doing whatever you're supposed to do to serve the body of Christ. It's kind of a little bit close to what Patty shared, but here, specifically, doing what you're supposed to do to serve the body of Christ is going to result in various trials that test your faith. Just to fulfill whatever service of ministry you're supposed to have to the saints, to edify and build up the church. I think a worthwhile question, sometimes when you're just sitting there daydreaming, think of the various saints in the scripture and ask yourself the question, what's the hardest thing that those people did? Like if I asked you, what's the hardest thing that Moses did? What might you say in answer to that? Yeah, he didn't do that. That was too hard. That was too hard. If you're going to think of Moses, what's the hardest thing that he did?
Thinking of leading Midian to go do after the burning bush, and God's saying you need to go, and Moses is giving all the excuses why he can't do it.
Okay.
And doing God asked him.
Okay, so their kind of obedience to go back to Egypt and to lead the people out of Egypt.
Maybe leading a stubborn and hard-hearted people.
Okay, so it could be you generalize it, just leading people of Israel who weren't always good followers or stubborn and hard-hearted. Steve?
What about leaving each the first time and all the comforts that he had?
Okay, good, but he was worried about getting killed, so he had some reason to leave, you know. Might have been harder then to stay, actually, because, you know, his life was in danger. But yes, he did leave, you know. There's some hardship there, but that's probably not the hardest thing he did. Sue?
Well, kind of like what Jim was saying. He was doing the right thing before, you know.
Oh, okay. When he was doing the right thing, but the people weren't, you know, just hard, apparently.
He also had to tell the people they weren't doing the right thing. He also had to tell the people, okay, you're going to have to wander as shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness after he led them out of the captive. Oh,
okay, so sometimes...
Yeah, he had to tell 2 million people you're not going to make it to the promised land.
Okay, so they're again connected to, you know, his leadership of the people. And here in particular, he's bringing them that message, kind of like you're not going in, you know, because of your sin and disobedience. You're all going to die out here. Yeah, I mean, good Sunday morning, right? You know, that's a great message. Okay, Jim?
I think I can suppose about what's closest to him about his leadership or coming down from Sinai and fighting the people worshiping the golden calf. You know, the things where it just kind of turns.
Okay, again, connected to his leadership of the people there, kind of, you know, the golden calf and turning away or disputes and challenges to his own leadership. So again, things connected to trying to lead these people. Joy?
So just in general, what people are saying, just the continuing on being faithful to what God did give him to do, you know, not backtracking and abandoning, but continuing on.
Okay, so then, yeah, you know, continuing on persevering and enduring in what God had called him to do, even when there was, you know, he did, in fact, what got him in trouble, actually, is not doing that, and kind of like he's sick of the people and worn out, so he swats the rock, and that's the reason he doesn't go into the land, because he dishonors, you know, God in the presence of the people. So Moses, something connected probably just to leading Israel, the hardest thing he ever did, you know. Now I'll go down through a list, kind of like, what about David? You'd probably after a while pick out, you know, just to serve the purpose of God and his generation, which was to be king. You know, from all the enemies chasing them to getting up to do the whole Saul thing. So again, something connected to his people. What about Nehemiah? Well, to go back, had a cushy job being the cupbearer, to go back to rebuild for the sake of the people. What about Esther? For such a time as this, but for the sake of the people. You know, what about Jeremiah? You know, what about all the prophets? And they would probably all say the hardest thing I ever did is be a prophet. Usually it ended with getting stoned to death. So that particular part is hard, but just to bring the word of the Lord. So that thought about what's the hardest thing these people of God, these saints of God did, often you would find an answer that what they did for the sake of the people of God and what they did to serve the people of God is the hardest thing that they ever did. So I just want to think for a little bit about that which God has for you to do in, you know, serving his people and building and edifying the church. And I'm suggesting to you that might be an area where you'll get various trials and you'll have to learn endurance. Just one note to clarify what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not talking about kind of, in quotes, church involvement, you know, only in the sense of volunteering or even getting hired to do church programs. You know, so this isn't a recruitment speech for everybody to sign up, you know, for the personnel commission or something like that. I think service to the people of God may include kind of like official, you know, church involvement and church programs, but it may not include those things. What I want you to think about is not just, you know, what am I volunteering at church to do at church, but to think about the manifestation of the Spirit given to you for the sake of God's people, for the common good. Think about that thing. Employing what gifts the Spirit has given you that he gave to you for the sake of the chosen, for the sake of the elect. That may involve you in official church programs. official church ministry. It may involve you in, you know, in places and in ways that aren't official. So I'm not concerned right today about, you know, kind of recruiting you to, you know, fill slots in the, you know, church ministry program. But that manifestation of the Spirit in you for the common good will certainly involve you in various trials. I just want to show you a few verses, and I just want you to note a couple of things. These are from the Apostle Paul, but just note a couple of things. All of them have a note of trial attached to them. You know, so there's some pressure or distress or affliction or suffering or something. So all of them speak of something like that. And also all of them speak of service for the sake of others, for the sake of the church. So here's one from Ephesians. I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation. So there's kind of the trial part, you know, the testing part. On your behalf, there's the service to the people of God. There's, you know, the tribulation, the pressure, but it's on behalf of, in this case, the Ephesians. Out of Colossians, I want you to know how great a struggle, there's the trial part, the struggling I have on your behalf. There again is the people of God part. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort. So there's the affliction, but it's for the Corinthians' comfort and salvation. On the other side, if we're comforted, that's also for your comfort. So whether he's being afflicted or comforted, it's for the Corinthians' sake. To Timothy, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. So here's an endurance, indeed of all things, for the sake of those who are chosen. There's the people of God. So that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with an eternal glory. And here's just one more. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. So there again, the idea of suffering, some trial, some pressure, but it's for the sake of the people of God. And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, and filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. So you take all those together. I mean, if you were like Paul's counselor, and if Paul came to you and says, you know, I have some tribulations in my life and some struggles and some afflictions, and I really need to endure, and I got a lot of sufferings, you say, well, Paul, I'd like to help you with all that stuff. I'll help you feel better. Kind of like, where does all that stuff come from? And then he said kind of like, well, it's all for the sake of the chosen, for the sake of the elect, for the sake of the people of God. You might say kind of like, well, if you just get rid of the people of God out of your life, away would go the tribulations and the struggles and the afflictions and the things you need to endure and the sufferings. You know, so that's maybe what you would counsel him. You know, if the people of God are poking the eye with a sharp stick, you know, kind of like get rid of the people and you won't get poked in the eye anymore. But I just want you to note here that, you know, there's those two notes of various trials, struggle, affliction, however it's voiced, but it's connected to his trying to serve the people of God. Now I know that often the picture that we paint of ourselves, we paint a picture of ourselves as people who are very busy with our lives, you know, and that we have just in the ordinary course of our life a lot of stress and a lot of challenges, you know, at home and at work and stuff like that. So we picture ourselves as kind of busy, stressed out people, you know, because we live in Southern California. So then we like to picture ministry and we like to encourage people to ministry by saying, well, ministry is really quite easy. You know, you, in fact, you can do it kind of like with very little effort. It's like effortless, you know, and little cost, you know, because we know that other areas of your life are you're busy with and stressed out. So we can involve you in ministry at little cost. Everything you need will just be provided for you. And then just go to a couple of training sessions, and then it'll be something that's very easy to do after a busy day that you've had, you know, with you know, life and family and stuff like that. So we like to picture ministry that way. We often kind of want to say, or we want to imply at least, that serving the saints, you know, it's really not a matter of life and death. It's not that big a deal, so you could do it. I want to suggest to you this morning that that's exactly what it is. It's a matter of life and death. No, because it has to do with sharing in the sufferings of Christ to serve the saints. That's what you're going to share in if you're going to serve them and do them any good. You know, and Christ died. Sharing in the sufferings of Christ's death for people, and it's sharing in the life that Christ gives to people. That's what ministry is about. So it is a matter of life and death. To pass the test, you know, the test of faith, to have a proven faith, a very large element, I think, for every one of us in passing the test is, did you fulfill, did you accomplish, did you obey the ministry that God had for you, you know, for the sake of the common good? I don't think it's possible to kind of like stand before him and say, you passed the test, you have a proven faith, but you didn't, you know, do anything that you were supposed to do on behalf of ministering to the body of Christ. I don't think those two things would be possible. And I want to suggest to you that fulfilling that ministry to the body of Christ, it may be the hardest thing that you ever do. It might be the costliest thing that you ever do. So this is out of 2 Corinthians 6. It's probably a known passage to you. Working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So Paul's talking about, you know, the ministering team is working together with God so that, in this case, the Corinthians receive the grace of God, don't receive it in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. And now it comes a long list. In much endurance and afflictions and hardships and distresses and beatings and imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and hunger and purity and knowledge and patience and kindness and the Holy Spirit and genuine love and the word of truth and the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Now, none of us are the Apostle Paul, but all of us probably desire, and all of us have been gifted in some way by God to work together with him, to help others receive the grace of God. God's giving you some, you know, I've got solid scriptural grounds for saying God has given you something of his spirit to help others receive his grace. You know, all of us desire to be servants of God. So he's going to commend himself as a servant of God. But that very service of God, that working together with him, that helping others receive the grace of God and not receive it in vain, that service is going to land you in this list. Just like it landed Paul in this list. It's going to land you in things that bring pressure and bring difficulties and cause, you know, need sacrifices, you know, produce sorrows, you know, bring reproach to you, cause some loneliness, you know, where there will be times where you're misunderstood. You're going to be regarded as unknown. Or as having nothing. So, service to the people of God will land you in this list. I don't know how the Lord specifically will generate it in your case. I'm pretty confident that he'll generate it. One more passage. Paul writes to Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. For which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. This is the verse I showed you earlier, the last one, verse 10. Now I'm just setting it in context. But that last verse, again, speaks of the chosen obtaining salvation. I'm like, that's a neat thing. No, if you could say, I help the chosen obtain salvation, and not only obtain salvation, but eternal glory, wow, you did pretty good. That's a worthwhile undertaking. So that's the setting that he's talking about, and it started off with, you know, Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the very content of the gospel. And then set right in the middle of it is the minister, the guy doing the serving. But he said, you know, to do that serving, I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment. But the word of God is not imprisoned. I like this picture. It's the picture that closes the book of Acts, by the way. You have the fettered apostle, the apostle in chains. The apostle, for the sake of the gospel, is a prisoner. But you have the unfettered gospel. So the apostle's in chains, but the gospel's not in chains. You know, the very last word of the book of Acts is unhindered. You know, the gospel's going forth unhindered, even though Paul is, you know, said prison cell. So here he captures it himself, you know, just by saying, you know, my ministry to the saints, enduring things for the saints, has resulted in difficulty, even I'm a prisoner now. But the word of God that he's ministering is not in prison. You know, it's unfettered going forth. My own goal, just in calling attention to this one specific area, is I don't want to try to help any of us avoid or skirt the trials or the tests that come with serving the people of God. I think often that's our method. We don't say it that way, but that's our method. We don't want to make it a matter of life and death. We would like to make it easy and effortless. You know, all you got to do is pop in the CD and minister to, you know, these group of people. When we don't make it a matter of life and death, we often we're successful in exactly that. And it's not a matter of life and death. There's no death involved for anybody. Of course, the downside of that is there's no life involved for anybody either. We've probably all been in situations where ministry is supposed to be happening, kind of like this, you know, there's no life here. And often there's no life because there's no one willing to, you know, perhaps bear the various trials, endure the various trials that go with sharing in the sufferings of Christ for other people's behalf. Something that I think is very deep water, but it's a very real thing, is that serving the saints involves one in sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Christ suffered for the sake of others. And to share in the ministry of Christ to others, you know, you share in his sufferings for their sakes. Paul says things like filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction, or always bearing in his body the dying of Christ, that the life of Christ might be manifested to others. So my goal is not to help any of us avoid the trials or the tests that come with serving. Rather, my goal is to help us to endure them. So however the trials, the tests come to you, as you seek to manifest the Spirit given to you for the common good, however those trials, endure them. Persevere in them. That's how you pass the test. So just one particular area, there's other areas of course, I think this particular one is very costly. That's my own judgment. In my own experience, if I were to be autobiographical. So I think the Lord will generate a 2 Corinthians 6 types of lists for you. And I don't know how he does that. He's very creative. It could be that, you know, you're supposed to pray in the middle of the night. Sometimes that sounds really, really kind of like wonderful, doesn't it? You know, if Debbie says, you know, the Lord woke me up at 2:30 in the morning to pray for you. Oh, wow, that's really kind of, it's almost spooky, but it's cool, right? You know, the Lord, know that the Lord woke Debbie up to pray for you. But if you're Debbie, kind of like, and sometimes kind of like it's cool to pray at 2:30 in the morning. Sometimes at 2:30 in the morning you're tired. Right? why am I sitting up here at 2:30 in the morning just all by myself, you know, praying? The Lord didn't wake everybody up. Didn't wake all of us up at 2:30. How come I'm the only one? Lord, couldn't you find anybody else? Then there's some like loneliness there. How come I'm the only one that's praying about this thing? And so you wrestle with some loneliness. And then Bernard gets up in the morning and says, "No, honey, you shouldn't have been up all night." So there's some reproach that comes. And she has to figure out how to deal with the reproach. So it comes from many different ways and many different corridors, from places expected and from places unexpected. I don't know how the Lord will generate, you know, the list for you. I am saying to you that, you know, the Scripture is full of examples that the hardest thing the saints did is serve the people of God. And it lands you in trials. It's part of the testing of our faith. We need to endure, pass the test. And it is deep water in that it's sharing in something of the sufferings of Christ for the sake of others. So, again, I think there's one other area that's costlier than this one, but this one's right there up at the top in my understanding. So don't skirt them, don't avoid them, just endure in them however they come to you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we think of the various trials that you send our way for the testing of our faith, for the producing of endurance. Father, we know that many trials come as we seek to fulfill and be faithful. Father, to serve the saints in the ways and according to the purpose that you have for each one of us. Father, employing those gifts of yourself to build and to edify. Father, help each one of us, I pray. Father, as we manifest the spirit that you've given to us for the sake of your people, to endure the trials, to persevere in them, Father, to pass the test. Father, help us to know how to share in the sufferings of Christ and be conformed to his death. And not only we ourselves, but others might experience some life and salvation and eternal glory that comes through your Son. Father, as you generate the list in our life, 2 Corinthians 6, we pray that each one of us would know how to commend ourselves as your servant. Help us with these things, we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So greet one another.